Chapter 6 and verse 31, we see the Lord Jesus Christ seeking a solitary place. This was a common practice with Jesus. We read it throughout the New Testament. There are 8 to 10 different times. In Mark 1:35, it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." Often Jesus had the custom of departing into a solitary place for prayer and for time with God, the Father. Mark 6:31, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and there was no leisure so as much as to eat." Now as we come to Matthew chapter 11 and Mark chapter 6 in particular, an interesting point in the ministry of Jesus Christ. John has been put into prison by Herod, John the Baptist. Jesus' message was not being accepted readily by the Jewish people. Jesus had John the Baptist's disciples come to verify if indeed he was the Messiah. He had confirmed that for them. He had rebuked the cities where John had declared the Messiah, and they had rejected him. There was much in the way of spiritual warfare going on during that time. And it was in the midst of this spiritual warfare and this intense time of ministry that Jesus said, let's try to get apart into a desert place. Let's take some time, some solitary time. Those of you that have read the Gospels know it didn't last for long. It was shortly thereafter that the crowds pressed upon him again, and he took the loaves and fishes and fed over 5,000 people. But it was often the case that Jesus, during a busy moment, would come apart and take time with the Father. One author years ago by the name of Vance Havner said, if we don't come apart, we'll come apart. And truly it is important to have times to reflect, to have times to pray, to have times to plan. Sometimes we need to get alone with God and learn what needs to be offloaded before we try to reload and go forward. We need to lay out our lives before the Lord as the psalmist did and say, Lord, search my heart, try me and know me, Lord. And if there's any wicked way in me, show me that, Lord, because I don't need to go forward until I make things right with you. There is no doubt that everyone in this room from time to time needs to pull apart for prayer, for Bible reading, perhaps for fasting, for times to just open our heart before the Lord. Times where there's no television, times where there's no video games, just time with the Lord. Those times are really needed. Maybe once or twice a year, maybe during a vacation. Everybody needs quiet time with the Lord. But sometimes those particular moments seem to evade us. Sometimes it seems difficult to calendar in those couple of days or that special morning, or those times can be interrupted as they were in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suppose that's why Matthew 11 is so relevant and pertinent for us tonight. Because it is in Matthew chapter 11 that we find that you don't always have to come apart from your schedule in order to have true rest spiritually. Now that may not make sense to us. That may not logically really settle well with us. But if I understand Matthew 11:28 and following, I believe Jesus is saying that in the midst of what you do, I want to give you rest. I want to help you with your burden. I want to help you go forward. I want you to notice three ways tonight that you can find a quiet place in the desert. Three ways that you can find God's rest in the desert in the midst of traveling to Edwards Air Force Base, down to Los Angeles, or somewhere in between your schedule. God says, I can give you rest where you are while you're doing what you're doing. The first way is to stay in the way of the Lord. If you want God's rest, you must stay in the way of the Lord. Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus simply says, come unto me. Come unto me. Those that refuse the way of the Lord do not rest well. They do not know the peace of the Lord. The way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. But Jesus says, come unto me. I want you to stay in the way of the Lord. And here we see the answer to stress is never to get away from the Lord. I have watched men for 22 years and women as well. And these men and women who have been saved, who profess to know things about the Bible and the Christian life and so forth, and I'm sure they do to some extent. But when stress comes into their life, their answer is often, I just need some time away from church. I just need some time away from this or from that. But that's not what Jesus says is always the answer. I said a moment ago, sometimes we do need to get apart into a desert place to pray, to read the Bible. But often that's not what these folks want to do. They want to get away and play, not pray. And we're not against playing. There are planned times of recreation that are wonderful. We'll see some of that at the Men and Boys Campout. The simple fact of the matter is, though, Jesus says in verse 28, come unto what? Say it with me. Come unto? Come unto me. He says, stay in the way of the Lord. I want to say again, the answer to your stress is not getting away from the Lord. That never alleviates stress. Getting away from preaching, getting away from prayer, getting away from Bible reading, you may have a moment of fun in the sun, but when you get back to the reality of it all, you haven't helped your situation one bit. If we are going to find quiet places in the desert, then we must stay in the way of the Lord. Now, let's break this down very quickly. Notice, first of all, the invitation. There is an invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me. This is a general invitation to anyone, anytime. We understand this in the imperative mood, meaning you can come anytime, any one of you. Come unto me, Jesus says. Here is an invitation. And he specifically says, all ye that labor. And I think this is applicable for Lancaster Baptist Church because, frankly, we make no apology for the fact that we are making haste to do the King's business around here. We're not ashamed of the fact we're running some buses and having some choir cantatas and something special patriotic coming up and a camp out coming up and a teen camp here and a revival meeting there and a missions conference there. You know, I believe that the Christian life ought to be lived full throttle. I really do. But Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor. All ye that labor. I believe you could apply this to a nursery worker, a Sunday school worker, a bus worker, a soul winner. You can apply this to anyone laboring and doing all that they do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are weary and tired and exhausted. And the picture here is of the Christian who perhaps has been trying to live and serve in the power of the flesh. I mean, he started off doing it for the Lord, started off doing it in the power of the Spirit, but somewhere along the way just got under the heavy load of just doing it. Jesus says, I have an invitation for you. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. And then he has an incentive. Notice the incentive here. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And notice what it says. And I will give you what? I will give you rest. Now, he doesn't say, come unto me I will give you more to do. He says, come unto me and I will give you rest. I will cause you to cease from the labor, to collect your strength, to be refreshed. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I have a favorite place on our family's farm in Colorado, and all of the grandchildren respectfully call it the Point. And the Point is a place, just a jagged precipice of rock coming out over Yellow Jacket Canyon. And it's a beautiful spot. You can look down that canyon to the Monument Valley. You can see the various rocks coming up out of the desert floor. You can turn around the other way and see the Rocky Mountains. It's a place I've been going and camping out since I was a little boy. One of the things I love about that place is that it is always the same. It's always the same. The trees, the rocks. When I was about a 9th or 10th grader, I put a quarter on a particular rock. It's still there all these years later. I check every time. Make sure no deer, you know, pushed it over the edge or something. There's something about that place when I go there. It's a place to be still and know that I'm God. But God says you can have that place anytime you want it with me. Anytime you want to know that I'm God and that I'm there, then just be still and know it. You can be still and know that I am God. Rest comes when we receive Christ as our Savior. Rest comes when we lean on Christ. Rest comes when we stop worrying and start trusting. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All of us have burdens tonight. All of us have issues in our life that rob sleep from us. if we let them. And Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. A Filipino pastor once told the story about a man who was coming down the road, and he had a cart being pulled by some oxen, and there was another man with a heavy, heavy load on his back, and he was coming along the side of the road, and the man with the cart said, hey, why don't you jump in the back of my cart? And so the man said, all right, I'll do that. And he got his stuff, and he got up in the cart. And after a while, the fellow, he was driving along and had the oxen going. And he looked around, and the man in the back of the cart was sitting in the back of the cart with his full burden on him still, holding the burden up and stressing under the burden while he rode in the cart. And the driver of the cart said, you know, you can set your burden down in the back of the cart. The countryman, who had never been in something with wheels before like that, smiled greatly and took his burden off and set it down. How many times do we as Christians, with all of the resources of a holy God at our disposal, keep on carrying something that He wants us just to set down? He said, I will give you rest. If we want rest, we must stay in the way of the Lord. Mark it down. If we think getting away from church, Bible reading, and prayer is going to really be a cure-all, we are dead wrong. Jesus says, come here. Come unto me. Stay in my way. Stay with me. Secondly, we must stay in the work of the Lord. In the work of the Lord. Now, folks, I want you to be warned that what I'm about to tell you, and this won't take long, but what I'm about to tell you is highly illogical. I want you to know that much of the Bible is illogical. It's a book of faith. It's a book filled with various paradoxes that we don't understand. I mean, in the Bible, the way up is down. And the way to receive is to give. There are many paradoxes in the Bible, and here is one. If you want rest, Jesus says, Then many times it's not about getting away. Many times it's about staying in. Staying in the work of the Lord. Notice what he says, if you would, in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Now someone says, whoa, you were going to give me rest. Now you're saying, take your yoke upon you. Ah, but you don't understand his yoke. Take my yoke upon you. I want to tell you something very quickly about the yoke of Jesus. And I'm going to explain it in just a moment. His yoke is not an exhausting yoke. The exhausting yoke in life is the yoke of serving people. And if you are doing what you're doing to serve people, you're going to wear out. But if you're doing what you're doing because you're serving Him and yoked with Him, you'll find strength for the journey. The Lord gave me this message at a time when I wasn't sure how to face another week. Frankly, I just wasn't sure how to do it. I wasn't sure how to step in a Wednesday night pulpit. I wasn't sure how to study for a Sunday night message. And the Lord gave me this message, and one of the answers He gave to me was just go ahead and do what you're supposed to do. Stay in the work. Stay faithful to what I've called you to do. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus said. Many times we don't want to do that. Notice, if you would, the declaration. He says, take. He says, lift up and carry. Enter into this labor. He wants us to realize that He is with us. Notice not only the declaration, notice the definition of it, if you would. The Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Now notice this, take my yoke upon you. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy. The definition of His yoke is that it is an easy yoke. A yoke is a beam, many times placed across the neck of two animals. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, for we are laborers together with whom? With God. We are laborers together with God. And He says, my yoke is easy. That is, my yoke is manageable. My yoke is pleasant. My yoke is not harsh. And in the Bible times, there were two kinds of yokes used for animals. There was one yoke that was used for animals of equal weight, equal ability, and had been broken in equally. That would be a very heavy yoke. That would be a yoke where each one bore equal amounts of pressure and weight. There was a second kind of yoke, however. It was called the training yoke. The young, untrained animal was placed with the experienced, trained animal. The yoke was set up so that the experienced animal carried the yoke. This kind of yoke was a training yoke. The young animal was kind of along for the ride, but not bearing the burden. That's exactly what Jesus Christ's yoke is all about. He says, take my yoke upon you, but we must remember we're in the training mode. He's in the burden-bearing mode. He carries the burden while we walk alongside of him. Proverbs 13, 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard, you see. We can try to do it our own way, but we're going to have problems every step of the way. Leonardo da Vinci said, every now and then, go away. Have a little relaxation. For when you come back, your work, your judgment will be surer, since to remain constantly at work will cause you to lose power of judgment. Go some distance away, because then your work appears smaller. And more of it can be taken in at a glance, and lack of harmony or proportion is readily seen. You see, the fact of the matter is that as this painter and sculptor and poet and architect genius, this philosopher understood, getting away helps one to get perspective. No doubt getting apart into a solitary place. No doubt some of you this summer will have a time to get away for a few days, maybe for a week or two. That's all wonderful, but I'm simply saying that with Jesus, you don't have to get away to get the burdens lifted. He wants to lift them even a long life's journey. The yoke is easy. Notice what else he says in verse 30. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The burden is always lighter when Jesus carries it. My burden is light. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so we see, how do you find a quiet place in the desert? Is there a certain Joshua tree, Pastor? Is there a certain place at Saddleback Butte State Park? Is there a certain place at the Poppy Reserve? Oh, there may be great places like that for praying and being with the Lord. But you know, you can have a quiet place in the desert anytime with the Lord. We must first stay in the way of the Lord. Jesus Christ says, come unto me. We must secondly stay in the work of the Lord. Many folks think, you know what, I've got so much stress, I just need to go to a church once a week and if I can do it, and you know, there's just, I don't need to be so involved and so forth. I meet them a year or two later, they have more stress, they have more problems, many times compoundedly so. The devil sold them a bill of goods. The prescription from the great physician, the prescription from the Creator is simply this. Stay in the way of the Lord. Come unto me. Would you say that with me? Come unto me. One more time. Come unto me. Secondly, stay in the work of the Lord. Take my yoke upon you. Why would Jesus say that? Does he want us in bondage? Absolutely not. He knows that he intends to bear the burden right along with us. And then finally tonight, we must stay in the word of the Lord. We must stay in the word of the Lord. Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, notice this, and learn of me. Increase your knowledge. Be informed. Now, this is very interesting. The word for learn, and I want to just touch on it for a moment, and I want our young people to hear it. It is the word to muse, M-U-S-E, to muse. He says, learn of me. He says, muse upon me. You know what that means? It means to think about him. It means to meditate about the fact that he has all power, that he is omnipresent. It means to think about him, as opposed to the word amusement, which means not to think. Musing is thinking, amusement. You take a person out to an amusement park, there's no thinking going on there. And a lot of young people today in their electronic game mode, in their amusement park mode, and they're not thinking. And then they get around a man of God who's musing in the Word of God. He's reading, he's thinking of God, he's learning of the ways of God. And the man of God says, you know, I propose to you that you ought to consider doing this or consider doing this. And the non-thinking amusement child can't relate to the man who's been musing in the things of God. And here we see that Jesus says, I want you to learn of me. It's an amazing thing to see spiritual people trying to interact with people who are just into the amusements of life. I mean, they can't even talk. I see it. I see young people who are caught up in all they're caught up in is amusement, non-thinking. And all of a sudden, someone starts to talk about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, creation, and their eyes glaze over. Because it's like too much, man. You know, you start talking about who got the highest score or what was the best whoop-de-doo roller coaster, and their juices get going because they're non-thinking people. Jesus says, learn of me. How do we learn? First, we learn through his instructions. Learn of me. Learn of me. The reason so many grow weary in the Christian life is because they're not in the Word of God. They're not receiving strength. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Proverbs 15:32. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction. Proverbs 23:12. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Evangelist by the name of Gypsy Smith, who was saved under the ministry of D.L. Moody, told of a man who said he received no inspiration from the Bible. He says, I've gone through the Bible several times and I've received no inspiration from the Bible. Gypsy Smith said, why don't you let it go through you once? I preach to people every week who hear, but they don't really hear. In fact, pastors joke about the fact that I'm fine with it. I can say certain things. I could say certain things tonight, and I could have a guest speaker come in next Sunday night and say the same things, and some people come forward that didn't come forward the week before just because it's a different voice. That's, by the way, one of the reasons we have guest speakers. I'm okay with that. You don't have to come forward because I said it. But the point is this. Sometimes we can just turn things off. We should be learning of Him, learning of Him, learning of Him. But sometimes we're not listening like we should. We're not letting it go through us. It's through His instruction. And secondly, we learn through our involvement. We learn through our involvement. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart. James 1:22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Some of the strongest Christians in this church are those who actually have tried to go to someone's house and tried to tell them what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. Or they've tried to teach a junior high class. Or they've tried to teach a fourth grade class. Or they've tried to explain the gospel to someone. By being involved, you learn of Him. You grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Quiet places in the desert. Is it because we're so busy that we're not growing? Not always. Listen carefully. Sometimes we need to pull apart, no doubt. But how many of you have figured out life is not one series of vacations after another? God created us to produce and to work with our families and to be involved and so forth. And so God says, I want you to stay in the way of the Lord, stay in the work of the Lord. I want you to stay in the word of the Lord. And you'll find that I'll give you all the inner resources that you need to do what you need to do. With God, quiet places are around every corner. With God, quiet places are found around every corner. Come unto me, Jesus says. Come unto me. His invitation is still open. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time to learn about quiet places in the desert. And I pray tonight that our congregation would stay in your way, that we would hear your invitation tonight to come to you. I pray that we would stay in your work, that we would not blame the few hours a week we serve in church or attend church as the real impetus behind all of our busy, stressful problems. Lord, help us not to blame what in many times is the very cure. Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us to stay in your way and stay in your work and help us to stay in your word this summer. I pray that every man in this room would open up God's word each and every morning and let you speak to them. Every woman in this room the same, Lord. Help us tonight to come to you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Who tonight would say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart tonight about finding quiet places in the desert. And while I understand we need sometimes a 48 hours of prayer and Bible reading and getting away and sometimes a vacation, what we really need every single day is to come to the Lord, to come to His way and to enjoy working with Him and to come to His Word to find rest for our souls. And sometimes I get that escapist mentality that if I could just go to a certain place, then I could really unwind. But I have been reminded tonight that if God is not ministering to my heart, there is no detoxing there. I cannot detox without my God. And God has spoken to my heart and said, come unto me. And I've learned some things about my daily life with the Lord. Pray that I'll apply this message to my heart. Would you lift your hand tonight if God was speaking to you tonight about finding some quiet places in the desert, giving you some encouragement about what it means to walk with Him and let Him carry the load. God bless you. God bless you. There may be someone here tonight who has never accepted Jesus as Savior. The burden you carry tonight is called sin. You do not know that your sins have ever been forgiven. You're not sure that Jesus Christ lives within you. And tonight, Jesus Christ, my friend, died for you in order that you might have your sins forgiven. That load of sin can be lifted when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood for your sin. And if you're here without Christ tonight, we would encourage you in just a moment as we sing our final song to come and let one of us speak to you about what it means to have Christ as Savior. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight that in the desert, you give us quiet places, places of rest, places where we can come unto you. And I pray tonight for those in this room who are laboring and heavy laden, that they would come to you and let you bring them along and let your word sustain them. I pray, Lord, that you would help each and every one of us to find that rest that comes from above. May this summer be a summer not only of physical relaxation, but may it be a summer of spiritual rejuvenation. I pray for our summer Bible conference on Wednesday nights. I pray those messages will be like revival fire coming down, Lord. I pray for our spiritual leadership conference as we come unto you and as we open our hearts. May the preaching and the singing and the drama and the presentations, may it all revive our hearts in the middle of the summer. And then daily, Lord, in your word, speak to us as you have said, come my way, come unto me. Help us to personalize it tonight. And if there's anyone here, Lord, without you as their Savior, I pray tonight that they would trust you as their Savior tonight. God, do that work which only you can do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand together tonight? We're going to sing the song of invitation. Some of you tonight, you need to come tonight and just lay down a burden perhaps. Leave it right here at the altar. Say, Lord, you said your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And I've been carrying something I'm not supposed to carry, and I'm just laying it down right here. Maybe it's a wayward child. Or maybe it's a financial burden. Or maybe it's some other marital problem. Whatever. You say, I just need to lay this burden down, Lord. And I'm here tonight to yoke up with you. Pastor said, you're going to carry the heavy part, and I just get to come along. That's exactly what God wants. He says it very clearly. Come. Come. It's His invitation to you. And if you need to come and spend some time in prayer or get some counseling, you'd like to know what it means to be a Christian, you come right now as we sing. We'll wait for you.
Have your way, Lord. Have your way. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Mold and make me yours today. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Mold and make me yours today. Have your way, Lord. Have your way.
Now somebody help me. What's the first word in our text tonight? What is it? Come. Say it again. Come. How many of you agree that's an invitation? Amen. How many of you say tonight, I hear His invitation. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to find a place. I'm going to open the Bible. I'm going to talk to Him. I'm going to let Him speak to me. God's inviting. I'm taking Him up on the invitation. Now look, it'd be great if someone in the church in the pew next to you would invite you to In and Out tonight for dinner. They'd say, let's go. That'd be a wonderful thing. But the God of the universe is saying tonight, why don't you come over? Let's spend some time together. I hope you'll plan that time this week with the Lord. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed. And would you just thank the Lord for being so gracious to give you that kind of an invitation? And would you plan some time with Him this week?